Thank you very much. Such a privilege to be here with you, Redden Family Church. It's not the first time for me, but you're so kind. I'm still learning English, and I think when I was here last time, my English was even...
not as strong as it is now.
And you're still inviting me. Wow. You're so kind. So my praise to be able to communicate. Actually, I'm fine with this. You know, the friend of mine said to me once, embrace your pain. You are who you are. So maybe it's I'll pray for you for this experience to be less painful and to contribute something into your heart. I really feel God gave me a message to this wonderful church. I love you. I know you for years. I know your patience to God, love, commitment, and I'm hearing stories about you. So you're well known and well respectful. I will share from John 4. It's a wonderful story about Jesus and Samaritan woman, and actually and disciples. But before this, I will introduce myself a little bit. I'm married to Natasha, wonderful young lady. I don't know how it works, but she's getting kind of young and younger. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, my eyes are becoming more and more open. I don't know how it works, but I love my wife. And we have three boys, 18, 16, and 9. And some people can say, good luck. There is a season in our life. You know, our kids know how to improve our prayer life. Successfully. And sometimes you feel a bit more relaxed and think, wow, we've got a moment. And the next day, phone call from school. Please come. We had some issues to talk through. Oh. So, you know. But this is journey. Actually, quite often we would love to have miracle and immediate breakthrough. But God is leading us as a journey. And we are learning. We are growing. Yeah, sometimes miracles are happening. But most of the time, we are learning, we are going, and then we are getting breakthrough. And it's new season. But sometimes it's hard to wait. Actually, this story we are going to read, it's a wonderful story. It's long, one of the longest stories. And John have paid close attention to this story with a lot of details. And I would prefer to start with the end of this story, but actually, John thought differently, so we'll enjoy. Liz kindly agreed to read, so at least you'll understand the John 4.
The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the place of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone back into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where can you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as he did also his sons and his flocks and herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite right. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him some food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the savior of the world.
Open your eyes and see. Lord Jesus, I'm just praying for you to speak to us. We need you. We need you at every moment of our life. Just lead us, teach us, encourage us, heal our hearts, comfort, make us able to move forward with you to where you are leading us. Amen. I think when we see this picture or read this story, the desire is to jump straight into the end, because whole Samaritan town, Sychar, became alive. And when we have started, the beginning of that story not really exciting. General emotions when we read this story was it quite uncertain, because the reason why Jesus left Judea, because it became too dangerous for him to be here, to be there in Judea. He spent about 6 months ministry there. Actually, John the Baptist has prepared the way for him. For this reason, he was well received. He was preaching there. A lot of people were following him, but the opposition from the leaders started to grow, and he made decision to leave Judea. It's now we are going to talk a little bit about the mentality. Jesus was establishing special way of thinking. He was not only doing ministry, but also he was discipling. It's important. For this reason, sometimes, you know, he did like, I'm going to pray, but not because I need to pray. Do you remember? Before he raised Lazarus from the dead. He said, actually, I don't need to pray, but if I bring him to life without praying, it won't helpful for you. So I'm going to pray. Sometimes he was doing some stuff, not because it was needed for him, but he was establishing some principles and some mentality, some shape how we think. In Matthew 23, Jesus said, if you are persecuted, if you are facing opposition and persecuted in one place, you need to go to another place. Why? Because the gospel has to be brought all around. You need to preach the gospel in every place. And here, he just applied this principle. For those who are going through the persecution, it's important message. When we are having peaceful life, sometimes we can't get it. But I'm leading a family of churches. We have nations, and some of our churches in a very persecuted places, under the huge pressure. And you know, when we think, should we stay in a place and die? Should we move? How you can make a decision? You need foundation. We need something strong. We need principles from heaven for us to be firm on, to stay firm on this foundation. So Jesus said, if you are persecuted in one place, go to another. Why? Because of kingdom of God. And Jesus established this principle, and he led disciples from Jerusalem, from Judea to Galilee, because Galilee was more safe place. And it wasn't time for him to be killed. Also, his disciples hasn't been ready to pay such a cost, because they've been still in the process of being confident in Jesus, to trust him, to follow him, to be ready to be persecuted for him. So he was protecting his disciples. And also, it wasn't time for him to die. I know, maybe for some people you think, why? We don't know what we are going to face in the future. When storm is coming, we can't place foundation. We need to place right now. We need to learn principles. We need not just knowing stories. We need to see principles behind to put as a foundation. So I'm talking to many people now who are facing persecution, pressure, and they said, if we leave a place, will it be faithfulness from us? Should we stay? I said, let's see from the kingdom of God perspective. It's not only how we feel about our place. It's not only about what we are doing right now, even in our ministry. But the kingdom of God is bigger. God's plan is much bigger. God's picture is much bigger. So I'm going to mention kingdom of God during this preaching all the time, because I really believe we need to see bigger picture, what God is doing. And when we see the bigger picture, it's easier for us to find ourselves in such a picture and to find a peace, just to know that God, it's his field, it's his work, we are in his hand, we can have peace even in the midst of all pressure, persecution, and everything. But we need foundation. So I really believe Jesus never been led by fear, but also he never been led by success. After being baptized in Jordan, he came back to Galilee, and he, after his first preaching at synagogue, he became very successful. Thousands started to follow him. In Capernaum, it was incredibly successful, and disciples said, "Let's establish base here," because everything is developing. You know, if we have 1,000 people, I think it's sign from God that this is place. We think, but Jesus said, "No, I'm not going to stay here, because I was sent to preach the gospel in every town, village, and city for whole Israel. This is my call. I can't stay here just because I'm successful. I need to go, and we will go." So it's interesting just to see that Jesus had his special, his own understanding how he should, how he have to move forward. He had plan, and it's definitely from God, from Father. And no fear, no success was the main reason for what he was doing. So, the story. From Judea to Galilee. Two ways of moving forward. One way was through Samaria, and second one, for most Jewish leaders, most of Jewish people didn't want to have any experience with the Samaritan people because of tension, because of hatred, because of prejudices. So most of Jewish people preferred to cross the Jordan, going up north, cross Jordan again, but not to go through Samaria. So when we are reading this scripture that now he had to go through Samaria, it's not about logistics. It was shorter. Some commentators said it took about 3 days to walk from Judea to Galilee through Samaria. If you are going through the other side, it will be 6. Maybe we can think Jesus was on a rush, but actually not. In the end of story, we see that he was quite relaxed. He spent 2 extra days when Samaritans invited him. So it wasn't about just as soon as possible to get to Galilee. It was a reason behind. For me, it just raises up a question. How we recognize how God is leading us? It's a big question. Because we all really focused on being led by God, to please God, but how it works. Even Jesus' ministry wasn't programmed. It wasn't like something in his head or somewhere, and he was like robot doing everything. It was a way of talking to God, because sometimes he was spending whole night seeing something, hearing, but also reacting. Quite often he was led by compassion, and as a result of compassion in his heart, he was preaching, teaching, healing. So it's combination. And I think it's important for us. I just feel there are some people here in the beginning of journey, when you see where you are now, it seems like nothing exciting in the future. It can be worse, or boring, nothing exciting. I think this story starts as well, not very exciting. For 12 disciples, they prefer wake up next morning in Galilee. Samaria wasn't in their heart. No good expectations. Tension. Have you ever met 12 men going for shopping together? Is it tradition in Reading here? Okay, I see sometimes women shopping together, but not 12. 2-3 best friends. But here in this story, 12 disciples went to get some food in Samaria. Now you can feel a bit what it was for them to go to get food in Samaria. They've been full of fear, prejudices. They didn't want, they prefer to talk to each other during this journey, not to the local people, for many reasons. And their dream was to finish it as soon as possible. No great expectation. Another one, Samaritan woman. She came, and her hope was to meet no one. All different expectations, this story. We know how it ended up. But Jesus, he had different feeling. Why Samaria? It's a question. I think Jesus made a decision to broke prejudices against Samaritans. Actually, he knew that he is going to send his disciples to preach a gospel, Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the world. So he was preparing them for the future mission. Sometimes we are trying to avoid some people, and actually God is going to send us, or somehow to connect us. And sometimes the biggest breakthrough is not where we want to be with all our heart, but where we are trying to avoid with all our heart. The friend of mine in Russia, he was very passionate about developing house churches, making disciples. You know this concept. Disciple-making movement. He was really concentrated. Training, seminars, prayings, fastings. And he had prejudices against one group of people, Roma people, gypsies. He didn't want to preach a gospel. He didn't want to do anything with them. But one day, and you know, sometimes we are using this language, target group, yes? So it wasn't his target. His target was different people. One day, I don't know how it happened, he just started to talk to one Roma man. And he became very interested, open. He shared the gospel, he invited him to his house, whole family accepted Jesus. In 3 years, more than 1,000 Roma people has been baptized, and more than 30 house churches has been established in different places. How God can lead us? Why Jesus spent time on a well? I don't know, actually. I'm not going to pretend. I'm just sharing what I see. Some commentaries said, but well, actually, they spent a few hours already to walk. Do you have app? I need to put because it will count my steps. My aim is to get 10,000 each day. Yeah. I'm close to. But when they've been walking, it's not for fun, not for exercise. They need to go for about 100 120 kilometers. So every day it has to be long distance. They've been starting early morning before it became very hot. So when they reached that place, Sychar, it was natural. Jesus became tired. He sat by the well just because he became tired. Simple. Also, it was outside of town, and the road was divided to different places, so it was kind of final place to find a rest, maybe some shadow, some water, before the next miles and miles and miles. Very natural. Jesus was tired. I think in our mind, we think that we are the most effective when we are strong, and especially in areas when we are strong. Jesus in this story, in the beginning, he is weak, he is tired, helpless. The well is deep. Some commentaries said, now that well still in Israel, and it's about 30 meters deep. So if you have nothing, no jar, you have no hope. He was in a position of need. And when the woman came, he started to minister her from asking help. I found in our church, when we were building a big church building, we found very effective in reaching men by asking for help. Some of the women from our church, their husband didn't want to have something with the church. They haven't been open to come to our meetings, gatherings, for any reasons. And then we started just ask for help to different men. Can you come and help us to build our... It's just a reminder that time is coming. I have learned how to ask for help those who are going to serve. Just humble yourself and ask for help. Guys, can you come? We are going to put foundation. Can you come? When we are working, we are eating together. We are just sharing stories. And God is doing something. We don't need to be the best of the best to reach. We need to love people and we need to be honest. And we need to be open for God to move through us. Simple. Why Samaritan woman? Another question. When someone is not open to talk to us, I think when we are very polite. English people, so polite. Actually, I'm quite affected now by your politeness after 18 months here. One day, I was running my house. I need to be on time in one place. I just touched table, and immediately I said, I'm really sorry. And stop, I think, wow, it seems like I'm becoming English. A little bit. No response, of course, but... So if someone is not open to talk, but Jesus, he just felt, he knew he have something what will change her life forever. He had water of life, living water. And he started to talk. It wasn't pleasant conversation. That lady done everything to stop his tries. But we know the end of story. I will read one quote. I love this. His ability to sympathize. In simple conversation, Jesus connects with the Samaritan woman as an individual with her own special history needs. In the narrative, she emerges as a person worthy of the gift of faith. And so Jesus turns to her. Jesus is full of love and is ready to destroy her sinful past. He stretches out his hands to her. And then quite powerful statement from Bruce Milne. Our failure to share the good news is a signal of our failure to love. No one will want to share with us the joy of being at the source of living water until they understand that we enjoy the company. A person is indifferent to what I know, but it's important for him to feel that I care about him. Bruce Milne. It's again prejudice against women, against such a woman, that is such a story. But Jesus was full of love, compassion, and the way how he treated her, how he talked to her, she just felt love. All people have this desire to meet people who can understand them. And he was talking to this woman as a friend who understands. Sometimes silence is the best medicine. You're talking, you're sharing your story, someone is just listening, smiling or crying and saying nothing. But here, the words from Jesus brought healing, restoration, and joy. What a story. Then disciples came. They brought some food, finally. They offered, Jesus, there is food, please eat. He said, friends, I have food you don't know. I have food you don't know about. I'd love to stop for a moment. Disciples been involved in his ministry already, maybe for 1 year, maybe less. They've been very committed, very busy with preachings, healings, praying, ministry, serving, very busy. But Jesus said, I have food you don't know about. They've been doing the same, but different feeling, different motives, different ideas behind. I really would love to encourage you and myself. We need to know the food, this kind of food. Jesus was talking about the special attitude to God and to what God is asking us to do. Actually, I don't believe that God has called us to be busy, just to do a lot of things. The main thing is to know what God wants us to do and to do it. It can be big, it can be small, doesn't matter. There is a pleasure when we know what God is asking us to do, when we know. You know, it's pleasure of knowing his heart. When we feel, when we know how he feels, and we have the same rhythm, when our heart is beaten or rhythm and his heart, we can feel the same. And when we commit ourselves to do, sometimes, and because it's there is a dynamic in our relationship with God, sometimes God is encouraging us, or we can feel this kind of impulse in our heart to do something. Because Holy Spirit in us is provoking us or motivating. I still remember once I was doing preparation for the conference, really busy. You know, 3 hours just in different commentaries, just ready, to be ready. And during this preparation, I felt God is encouraging me, just stop and make a phone call. Okay, to make a phone call to Ukrainians, it's okay. But without sending message in advance, to make a phone call to English people, it's, you know, quite, it can be painful. because it's private space. It's my life. So I felt just strange. I think, no, I won't do it. I'm busy. That people definitely busier. So, but that impulse was, I stopped, made a phone call. And the guy said, you won't believe, we are sitting right now with the team, discussing stuff, what we are going to do, and we just felt God wants us to contact you and do it together. So your phone call is just confirmation. It's little. How God is leading, He is giving impulse in our heart. He is encouraging, can you pray for that person? Can you send a message? Can you spend some time just thinking, and suddenly God is giving prophetic word? But we need to create a space, and obedience is leading us. So we are starting with a quite weird feeling. Ah, it's not appropriate. It's against the culture. It's okay. It's okay to do something against culture, because not everything in our culture is from heaven. So we can try. But if it won't work, it's okay. I'll become a bit more red, but it's okay. A few days ago, 1 week ago, I was sitting in a sauna. After gym, I'm going to sauna. I'm not sure I'm going for sauna or for exercise, but I'm enjoying the sauna the most. And usually, there are a lot of people, and you know, totally wet. And one man is telling his story, the pain in hip. He can't walk freely. He was coach for all his life, very well shaped, real sportsman. But he said, now I can't move. And he was sharing all this story evening by evening. And once I said, can I pray for you? And he's not Christian. He looked at me and he said, you know, I'm very positive about this, because I'm living with hope and feeling that one day someone will put his hand on my shoulder and will offer me to pray. I don't know how it works. But God has a scenario for us, and He's leading us, sometimes with a clear picture, sometimes just giving us impulse, and we need to be obedient. And when we are doing the stuff God wants us to do, then we are getting incredible joy, because we are partners with God. This joy of doing something together. After years, I really lost appetite to stay on platform or to travel. I'm traveling a lot. Usually 2 weeks in a month, I'm away. And some people saying, oh, it's so excited. Where the next trip? I said, actually, I'm missing my family already, even I haven't left them. Yeah. I'm still at home, but I started to miss, because I know next 5 days I'll be away. And then 1 week later, another trip. And then another trip. I have booked a lot of tickets already. So it's not good fun. It's not about platform. It's not about conferences. It's not about flights. What can motivate us and bring a joy? You know that everything you do, you try to do to please God. And you do it because you feel God is leading, God is asking. I still remember I had a rhythm to visit Mariupol, actually, from Kyiv by car. It's 2,000 kilometers two ways, no trains, no flights because of war, 4 times in a month. I was dying. I said, Lord, it's too much. And the people I'm accountable to, they said, it's crazy, it's not right. So I came to God just to talk, and I said, can I do it? You know, this conversation, I feel tired, but I just felt God is asking me, can you continue? They need you. It's against how I prefer, but I just felt that once I talked to Natasha, I said, for how long you can continue with this, such a rhythm? She said, 6 more months, but I think this is the most. By God's grace, in 6 months, the rhythm has changed. But sometimes God is asking us to do something which out of our desire. But you know, God asks us. So it's not about what we excite. And church is not a place where we show all our gifts. It's not about this. It's about knowing and fulfilling what God wants us to do, different level, in different context. And it brings incredible joy and sense we are partners with God. Seasons, last thing. In a church context, we are using language of building. In kingdom context, it's sowing and reaping. I'm not trying to make confrontation because it's to our reality. We are in a church, we are building church, but also we are in the kingdom of God. And we need to remember this bigger picture. If we know only language of building, in some moments we'll find that it's not helpful. I used to lead a church for nearly 20 years, great base church. And I love team, I love church routine, I love train, disciple people, spend time, I love to pray together, I love this. And 2014, in few months' time, everything we've been building for years has been damaged. All people, most of people left east of Ukraine, spread it out. And I felt, you know this feeling, everything you have built in 20 years' time, broken now. And I think, was God on it at all? Everything gone. All the best people gone. You have no connection for a while. You have no idea. You have no future. Everything broke down. And suddenly I started to read how Jesus explained the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God as a someone who started to sow seeds on his field. And then Jesus started to explain, the owner of this field is Son of Man. The field is whole earth. And I started to feel that God is actually encouraging. It's not the finish. Actually, it's the beginning. God is taking these seeds and sowing on his field. And he knows the place where the whole seeds has to come and to be rooted and to bear fruit in the future. 2022, all our churches in the east of Ukraine just stop being exist. 95% or more left, especially Mariupol, nothing left. From church perspective, we have no church in there. What we have built broke down. From kingdom perspective, we see more and more opportunities for new church plants now. In January, I visited one place in Germany where the group from Mariupol came and they started to plant new church. About 40, 50 adults, a lot of kids, they brought life to German little town. All Germans loved them. They said, you brought life to us. Our young people would love to join you because you are different. They're learning German. They're becoming blessing for that nation now. But this is a kingdom of God. We need to see this way. And a few more things are important. There is a different seasons. And Jesus said, Someone was faithful during the season of sowing, and you have called to be part of harvest. We can't control the seasons. And I know that the biggest joy is to be part of harvest. Even I see this church, Redding Family Church. You know that 20, 30 years ago in UK, evangelical charismatics has been little groups, house churches. But we had thousands of faithful people who've been sowing. And now we are reaping. And seasons are changing. What I believe in Europe, I would love to just make this call. I see a picture that God is going to move in Europe soon. He's going to touch different nations. In some nations now, it seems like nothing happening. Like Czech Republic, they said we are the most atheistic nation in whole Europe, and we are proud of it. Berlin, huge city, the capital of atheism, we are proud of it. But God has different plan. God is going to move in different nations, and seasons will change. I really believe there is a strong call to the UK churches. I know Brexit somehow separated UK from Europe, but it's not on God's map. You're still part of Europe, and you still have a role to play in what God is going to do in Europe. God is going to move and touch different nations. And in some nations, the national church is quite weak. And during the harvest, they will need a help. Harvest can be lost, friends. If the church is not ready, if the church is not mobilized, the harvest can be lost. We need to develop this kind of... Okay, I will say a few more things. I know it's time to finish, but friends, Samaria wasn't the main accent in Jesus' ministry. Actually, he was just going through, and he brought blessing to that place. And when we are reading this story, it's not only about the incredible skills of Jesus to communicate or anointing. He said it's about season. Sychar accepted him, started to believe because of season. And season's not obvious. Sometimes we see but we can't see. Someone has to tell us that this is season of harvest. We need such a prophetic words. For disciples, they've been in the middle of revival without any idea. Jesus had to tell them, this is harvest moment for this village. For this reason, we are here. We need collaboration with the people who see, prophetic people, apostolic people, who see what God is doing in different places. We need to develop a trust, an ability to respond. Otherwise, we'll lose momentum in many places. I really believe we'll have privilege to reap where we never sow. It will be our privilege. I know we are developing faithfulness by sowing when we are. We're having these seasons of harvest here as well, but on a bigger scale, God is going to involve us into harvest in many places. And we need to develop this kind of attitude to see bigger picture, to lift up our face and eyes and see what God is doing. This is incredible privilege for us to join in what God is doing. I know we are very focused on what we are responsible for. It's good. I love it. I love this attitude. But we need to develop a different skill and different level of ability to work outside of our sphere of responsibility. Not only we are responsible for to be committed, but also generally to a bigger picture, because what God is going to do, it will be nothing compared to. In whole history, God is going to move, God is going to touch many nations. And sometimes this season of harvest, just few months or few years, and it will be call. And I really believe your church will play a role as well. I really believe the next season you'll hear more and more, you'll pray about more and more nations. Some nation you never heard about, you'll start to pray. Some people will say, I just feel God wants us to pray for this particular nation. God is going to initiate. God is going to make this impulse to produce faith. God is going to take your, just to capture your attention, especially leaders, Sean. I really believe you'll feel strange. This nation, it's like not serious. Why we are talking about all these nations and we are not involved, we have nothing there. It's not about having something there. It's about God is on the move. God is going to stir your hearts just to pray first. Prayer will go first. Then you'll have, then you'll hear some news. Then God is going to organize someone to be in touch with. Then you'll get invitation, please come and help. I really believe from so many nations you'll hear this invitation, please come and help. You have so many good, well-equipped people here. In some nations, nothing compares. You have, how many preachers do you have here?
Enough,
more than enough. I don't know why you have invited me. I have no idea. But too many guys, too many brilliant, well-equipped women, men. But time is coming to share. Be ready to send for short-term missional trips. Be ready. Be ready to release. Be ready for a moment when every Sunday you'll bless little team go to different directions. Be ready. Develop this attitude. I really feel God is going to increase your resources, all kind of resources, for being ready to be involved in what God is going to do. Be ready. Amen.